My name is Cadet Lieutenant Commander Widger, and today's date is the 31st of January 2019, and I'm here with
Kevin Aviles.
And sir, thank you for allowing me to interview you today. I really appreciate it for you just taking your time out and just coming. You know, I know you have family you could be getting home to.
My pleasure.
Can you tell me when and where you were born?
I was born in January 9, 1969, in Rio Piedras, Puerto Rico.
Okay. Can you tell me about like what life was like when you were growing up there, and like, do you have a favorite memory?
It was very mischief, to say. Yeah. I was very mischief. My favorite memory would be playing with my friends.
Was that like an everyday thing?
Riding my bikes.
And that was like an everyday thing?
Mostly every day. After school.
After school.
Get home, drop the books off, forget about school, and go play basketball.
Yeah.
Or ride bikes.
So when you were growing up, like, what were like some like the challenges you faced? Like major things, but things that just like a little pushback, but like just kind of built you up to the person you are. Is there anything like from your childhood that like really stands out? Or
I would say that my mother and my grandmother always being strict with me.
Strict?
Yeah.
They say strict parents make sneaky kids. Yeah. Was that you?
Somewhat like that.
What motivated you to join the military?
I used to see the ships come in port in San Juan, and I'd take tours on the ships. And then on top of that, in addition to that, I lived near a naval base, and I also had friends that were on the Army base, which was called Fort Buchanan back then. None of those installations exist anymore today. So, by their experiences, and some of my neighbors were sailors that were living out in town, and I would talk with them, and that interests me. Mm-hmm. In addition, believe it or not, the uniform was one of the things that I liked.
So how old were you when you realized that, you know, the Navy is for me, that's what I'm going to do with my life?
I was roughly about 15.
15, that's pretty early. Can you tell me about like basic training? Like, where'd you go at the time, and what were you unprepared for when you went?
I went to Great Lakes, Illinois, in my basic training. I was in Company 279. Back then, they called 279. It was cold. What I wasn't prepared for was the food.
The food? Was it better than what you were expecting?
No, it sucked. It was terrible.
Terrible.
I mean, you got to understand that they were cooking for a big amount of people. At the time, it was considered to be the biggest eating facility in the world.
In the world?
Yes.
That's right? Crazy.
So, I want to say roughly they were feeding somewhere between 8 to probably 10 companies, and I might be short, at a time.
At a time?
At a time.
Just in there.
In once. There, yes.
And that's 3 times a day.
That's 3 times a day, yes.
That's crazy. Can you describe some of the jobs that you had while you were serving in the military, like your first job, and if that stayed, or if you changed your rate, or?
My first job, I was an undesignated fireman recruit on the USS Missouri, BB-63, which you have over there. I got on board, and they sent me to engineering. And they asked me, you know, what you want to be. And I said, I want to be a boiler tech. So I ended up down in the fire room. I did that for my first 4 years. After that, I got out, and I went into the reserves.
Okay.
And I was a CB in the reserves at the time. And then I started looking to come back into active duty. So I re-enlisted into active duty. I went to a machinist made A school, which is nothing more than the same thing as the boiler tech A school. I made top of my class on that one. And then I got orders to the USS America, CB-66. After I got done with that, I pre-con the USS Bataan LHD-5, which is out in Norfolk, Virginia right now. From there, I went to a place called SIMA.
Where is that?
That's in Norfolk. In SIMA, Norfolk, that's called, stands for Short Intermediate Maintenance Activity.
Okay.
It was pretty much a place where all different sailors gathered, different shops, and we would go out and do repairs on ships or fabricate things that the ships needed.
Okay.
From that point, I went back to the Bataan, and I... Then I left the Bataan. I went to a Center for Naval Engineering. I was an instructor there. Yeah.
How was that?
That was very rewarding. I was a course supervisor for four different courses, in addition to what I used to teach, the Senior Enlisted Propulsion Engineer course. And from there, I ended up being the... took orders to the USS Jason Dunham, DDG-109. And I was the maintenance coordinator for that ship, 3MC. From there, I retired. One thing I did forget to tell you was that between my time I left in Missouri and before I got out, I went to a frigate called the USS Kirk, FF-1087. And I was a boiler tech there also. That's why I got out.
Okay. What was like the most difficult part of being in the military, like day-to-day life, that you just, it was really hard to just, man, I got to go to work because of this?
At the beginning, the first 2 years were the hardest. And they really weren't hard because I lived on the ship. So the hardest part was getting up, getting dressed. Food was already being made for, right? I would say, overall, the hardest part in my entire naval career was being away from my family, especially when we had to go take care of something and they had to stay behind. I give you an example. Hurricanes coming up. We have to go because we have to protect the ship. That's the nation's assets.
Yeah.
And your family stays behind to defend it for themselves.
Yeah, that could be really worrying.
Yeah.
Yeah, I could see that. And like, while you were out, while, say, you were away from your family, like, what kept you from saying, I got to get out so I can stay with my family? Like, was there something driving you to stay in? Was it them saying, this is the best option for my family if I stay in? Like, how did you just overcome that?
I had in contact with a lot of veterans, or I was in contact with a lot of veterans who gave me advice and told me to stick it out. In addition to that, at the time that I was planning to get out again, I was making rank, I was enjoying what I was doing, and I, at the end, I said, you know what, I'm going to get a retirement out of this. There's not too many jobs where you do 20 years and you retire from. And I really like what I was doing. The Navy became my career. Just, you know, considering somebody that came from an island with a high school diploma, I think I've done pretty good.
Yeah. So was your family pushing you to stay in, or were they kind of nudging you to get out? Or how were they a factor in deciding whether you wanted to retire or just get out once your contract was up?
They encouraged me to stay in because they could see the benefits later on that I couldn't see at the moment when I was deciding to get out. And as years went by, I matured and I realized, you know, this is really what I like.
Yeah. Did you serve in a war zone? And if you did, when and where was it?
Yes, I served in Iraqi Freedom. Also served in Desert Shield, Desert Storm. That was the first one. I also went to Operation Deny Flight, which was over former Yugoslavia.
Not too much spoken about that.
And those have been the three theaters that I've been in.
And while you were there, do you have any like memorable stories?
Yes. I can tell you that when we were doing Desert Storm, obviously it was in January, and a couple of weeks after my birthday, we come across a ships are in the harbor in Bahrain, and they told us that we need to leave the harbor because they had found active mines in the harbor. So we all had to come back on board the ship and leave. But one of the most memorable things was having the EOD, which is an ordnance disposal team, on board. And they came on board and, they went into the water and they blew up a mine.
They just blew them up
They blew it up in the ocean. This was another mine that we found later on as we were out. And the best way I can describe this to you is like putting your head in a trash can and let me hit it with a hammer on the side. That's how it sounded. In addition to that, we had to hang around and watch the take care of the USS Princeton, which is a cruiser, because she had run over a mine and had suffered casualties. So she was dead in the water, so we had to stay in that area and protect the ship.
How long were you in that area?
I would say we were roughly about a week in that area. The funny thing, they said that there was a mine-free area, but no, there was plenty of mines there.
What valuable lessons has being in the service taught you?
Persistency has taught me that, being a service member. Being humble is a good trait, because if you can't be humble to serve others, how do you expect them to serve you? And also, you got to be willing to follow in order to lead. Don't expect that you're going to be given everything, okay? I'm pretty sure there's other lessons that don't come to mind right now.
Can you describe your transition from military to civilian life? Like what some of the biggest difficulties you faced were?
The biggest difficulty that I faced transiting from military civilian was the fact that in the civilian world, people are much more lax. And when it comes, let's say, to the workforce, my mind is set to let's get the job done. Time is not a factor. People get paid by the hour in civilian life, right? So if I'm not getting paid, I'm not going to work. Whereas in the military, we're not worried about that. We're worried about getting the job done. So our work ethics are different.
Yeah, that seems to be like a popular trend among veterans once they get out, is that the civilians that haven't served, they just, they have a timeline and they're going to work all the way up until that deadline, while these veterans just want to get it done so they can move on to the next task. And that just seems like a very popular trend amongst veterans once they transition.
Definitely true.
So, how did you overcome this? Did you, kind of push your coworkers to get the job done, or did you kind of do more of it compared to them? Or?
Well, you have to adjust depending on how the system that you're working in is. You can push your coworkers, but you also got to realize that their mindset is different, and that out here there are different rules that apply that you can't do anymore like you used to in the military.
Yeah.
I can't correct your problem or deficiency like we used to. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
And some people out here they feel they're entitled. Another thing is, some civilians, not all, saying to look at the military like
that guy, right?
Right. Who's that? We don't care. But I definitely believe that everybody should serve.
I think it's a great thing to, you just learn a skill, get paid, and you just build off of what you already like learned as a child, like you're only going to improve from the military. I've never heard of anyone that has gotten out and got and like been a worse person than when they got in. So I think the military is definitely a great place to grow and develop, especially in your younger years. And like most people, or I want to say most people, but a lot of people make it a career and retire. But when they come out, they're just some of the best people I've ever met. And I just think it's amazing that just 4 years to 20 years can change a person so much in their mindset that it's just absolutely amazing.
Most definitely. Plus the schools that they provide you, you have no idea how much better prepared you are when you take all the opportunities that they offer you.
If you were given the opportunity, would you go back into the military again? And if so, why?
I possibly would go back if I didn't have my children. My family is what anchors me here. Okay? But if I would go back, yes. And why would I go back? Because I know it very well. And that's something that, you know, you think that you're going to lose that contact with or that understanding. You know, I'll transition, you know, big deal, I'll be civilian. But you always miss that. What do I miss the most? The people. Not the politics, but the people.
Is there anything in particular you would like to say to the next generation of service members? Just some advice?
Serve with pride. Never mind what goes on politically in the country. Do your job. Do it right. Don't worry about how you're going to get promoted. If it's going to happen, it's going to happen. What I'm saying is do your job with pride. Do the best. Don't cry. And what's meant to happen to you is going to come to you. And enjoy it. Travel. Take all the opportunities you can.
Let's make the best out of it.
Make the best out of it.
Well, thank you for taking your time again. I know you're pretty busy with family and your job, but I just want to say thank you and I appreciate your service.
My pleasure. Thank you for interviewing me.
Now, if you just want to get a picture over there, if you don't mind.